Welcome to the Professional Website Investors Podcast, the show where we talk about what it takes to successfully buy, operate, scale, and sell a thriving e-commerce business. When it comes to doing business online, we believe that buying an existing website is far superior to building one from scratch. So, if you're a career professional who is looking to become an e-commerce store owner, listening to this show will give you the knowledge, tools, and community support you need to be successful. We've got another great episode for you today, so without further ado, let's get into today's discussion, and I'll be back on the other side to tie up any loose ends. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. My name is James Sowers, and I am the co-host of this podcast, and I'm joined as always by my fellow co-host, Mr. Ian Bond. Ian, how are things on your end of the world today?
James, they couldn't be better. It's great to see you again, and I'm looking forward to today's show.
Awesome, me too, and I know the folks at home who heard episode one are as well. We gave a little bit of background on what professional website investing is and what it means to us. We talked about your background and your personal experience starting from nothing and getting to where you are today and some of the lessons that you learned along the way. So tons of insights included in episode one. We're back here with episode two. And what we're going to be talking about today is why existing websites are the most attractive asset class in 2018. And when I say that, I compare that to traditional investment vehicles like Roth IRAs, 401ks, and things like that. So maybe that's a good place for us to start. So what are some of those traditional asset classes that people may already be familiar with? And what are some of the flaws or limitations for those when compared with purchasing, acquiring, scaling, and growing an existing website today in 2018?
So, you know, probably the easiest comparison, since the websites are a business, an operating business, would be, you know, kind of an equity index. And the broadest, best accepted equity index is the Standard & Poor's 500. So, you know, these aren't fixed income instruments. This is not passive income. Okay. This is operating businesses. And unlike the Standard & Poor's 500, where you don't get a chance to operate, here you do have to operate. So there's that distinction. But just to give you an idea of what the valuations are that make this, I think, a compelling risk-reward trade-off for people that have the desire to be involved in a business. The Standard & Poor's 500 today is a little bit below 3,000. It's 2,900 and something. And the expected earnings for the Standard & Poor's 500 put the S&P 500 at a multiple of earnings of about 21 times annual earnings. So it's about 21 times annual earnings. Websites sell in the marketplace right now for anywhere from 2 years to 4 years times earnings. 4 years being for, fairly large sites that have lots of processes. The newer sites that are smaller, that most of the people would probably get a start in, or, you know, probably 2 to 3 years times earnings. So versus, 2 to 3 times earnings versus 21 times earnings, you're talking around, one eighth as expensive on a multiple of earnings. And I think that's going up. I think that as this asset class becomes more socialized, as being acceptable, as I think people learn more about it, as I think that more technology enables people to get involved, that it makes it a compelling and attractive place to invest, especially for my favorite demographic, which are career professionals, corporate executives, people thinking about retirement. So that's my case.
Yeah. And you know, what I always like to say is putting your money into traditional investment vehicles, stocks, bonds, portfolios, things like that. You basically cross your fingers and hope for the best. And I always like to say that hope is not a strategy, right? Like hope is just wishing for the best and putting your future and your personal outcome in the hands of somebody else. And in this case, an entire market. But website investing is something where you take ownership and accountability over your future. You do put in that sweat equity and some capital up front. But in exchange for all of that hard work, you have a much higher earning potential. And it sounds like what you're saying here is actually getting involved what over the long term is more affordable than investing in the market, as in your expense to earn the revenues is much lower with a website than putting your money in the market and hoping for the best.
For people that want to make an outsized return, the markets over a long period of time have demonstrated, very compelling returns. you know, as we sit here today in October of 2018, we're 9.5 years into a bull market. The market bottomed in March of 2009. So one could suggest that while the bull market is getting kind of old, you know, there may be less upside, and bull markets don't die of old age. They die for other reasons. But I'm here to tell you that I think that the e-commerce revolution is one that has, you know, is very exciting and has huge opportunity and can probably continue to grow, when the general economy maybe doesn't grow as well. And maybe the regular equity markets don't do as well. So I think that's another one of the, you know, very, you know, compelling reasons to be involved in website investing.
So here's a question for you that just popped into my mind as you were talking there. So when I've thought about website investing, I kind of picture it as the new age version of real estate investing, in that you do have a tangible asset that exists in the world and can appreciate in value pretty rapidly, depending on your input and how the rest of the market acts. And in that way, I think it's a lot like real estate, in that if you buy at the right time and at the right price, and things start to develop around that piece of property, around that home, the value of that home can increase exponentially. So would you say that that's a fair parallel to make between website investing and something that traditional investors might be more familiar with, like real estate investing, whether it be commercial or residential?
Yeah, I think the opportunity to add value to a website is an extremely attractive opportunity that you find a lot. I'm working with a coaching client right now. He bought a website at an attractive multiple. The website is clearly deficient in some very obvious ways that once we fix those, you know, kind of deficiencies, is going to be much more attractive to people that come there to shop. And I can tell, you know, we all know what crummy websites look like. We all have been to them and shopped at them and browsed them. And we all know what good ones look like. And there are some scientific ways to garner, you know, good search engine optimization results. And there are some just, you know, very, you know, kind of common sense things you can do to e-commerce sites to convert visitors into paying clients. And so we're working together on doing that for him. And I think he's got, you know, a gem on his hand.
Yeah, I totally agree from the sounds of it. And, you know, I think one point that's important to emphasize here is that when we talk about investing in websites, what we're really talking about are established websites. Now, can you go into a little bit more detail about what we mean by that? Because we don't, there are a lot of people out putting bad information out there about how to buy a website and make a lot of money overnight. But what we're advocating for here is something very specific. So what's your opinion on what defines an established website?
Yeah. So I mean, I think it depends, you know, how established is kind of the question. But established would be one that has a track record of revenue, one that has suppliers on board already. We're not talking about a domain. We're not talking about something that's a concept. We're talking about something where actual commerce has happened. And whether that is 3 months or 6 months of history on the one end, or I own a site that you know, when we bought it had one of the worst purchases I ever made. It had 20 years worth of history. You know, that can be debated, but it has to have had, you know, revenue and commerce take place. You have to have suppliers already on board, products uploaded, all of it.
So if we were to compare that to a real world example, maybe instead of buying an empty storefront on Main Street, you're buying an actual laundromat that has customers and revenue coming in and inventory and operating processes and everything. So something that is actually a functional business versus just some kind of website with design and maybe a little bit of content, no audience, no customers, no subscribers, nothing like that. So we're advocating for the latter, something that's already established and generating revenue, and you're coming in to take over and scale that up and then either continue to maintain it or sell it down the road.
Yeah. So to go back to your real estate analogy, you know, a long time ago, it seems like to me, you know, I owned 50 apartments, and, you know, it was my plan and my strategy to go in, and I picked a wonderful neighborhood, and with my sister, working with my sister and ultimately my brother, I bought, accumulated these apartments. We refurbished them. We renovated them. We fixed the exteriors, the interiors, and then we, you know, rented them out at higher rents, and we were able to add value. And, you know, I would say that, you know, in the website investing world, the same opportunity. You can take a look at what someone has been able to accomplish with the website that you see that you're, that is for sale. And you can probably identify a half a dozen or more things that you would do almost instantaneously that you think can add value. This is after you've kind of developed an eye for it. I wouldn't recommend that people go in and change a lot of things, you know, right away if they don't have much experience. If it's producing revenue already, there's something that's going on that's right. I'm talking about where you have known deficiencies after you, you know, maybe spend some time and learned what to look for.
Yeah, totally agree. And so we're talking kind of in general terms here about buying a website, quote unquote, but there are different kinds of revenue generating websites that somebody could theoretically go out there and acquire. So what are some of those categories or some of those types of websites? And then I know there's one particular one that you are extremely adamant about as the best option available today, or at least your preferred option. So we'll get into that. But first, let's talk about some of the major buckets or categories and then click down into the one you like the best.
Okay. So the major buckets are, websites that are driven by content strategies. Content can be monetized by, you know, AdSense revenue, which are those Google ads that are on the side of the website. It could be monetized by any number of affiliate programs. The Amazon program is, you know, kind of one of the favorites that everybody has. There are other affiliate programs. And it could be monetized by someone's own product. Say those could be info products that someone might sell. So content sites is you know, kind of one bucket. There is physical goods e-commerce. In addition to what is traditional e-commerce, now there's a special subcategory for fulfillment by Amazon strategies. Then we have things like lead generation. We have things like niche things like software as a service. So, you know, if you want to, there's an Empire Flippers article that's very popular. I think it's the most popular article on their website. That is the 11 business online business models. We're going to have a podcast that talks about the online business models, what, you know, drives revenues and what it would take to succeed for someone so that people can kind of get an idea on, you know, what might work for them. Now, the reason I like physical goods, I said it in the last episode, is I think it's fairly intuitive. First of all, it's the largest, you know, category with over 50% of the websites that are being sold are e-commerce websites. I think it's intuitive. I think it's a little bit like real estate. We all know what a good looking website looks like. Just like if we were parachuted into another city, we could probably pretty much figure out what the real estate market, you know, what had value and what didn't have value. And so that's the way I think about it.
Yeah. You know, and I think that there is a merit and a flaw to every different bucket that we have. And physical goods e-commerce is something that we're passionate about here and the one that we're going to focus on and talk about the most. I'm curious, is there one of those buckets that you might recommend a novice getting involved in versus somebody who's more seasoned, who's maybe been an entrepreneur in the past? Are any of those like better suited for a beginner versus somebody who's more business savvy or more tech savvy or something like that?
For the bulk of, I think the bulk of the people that I speak to every day, I think most people that haven't spent a lot of time looking at, kind of the business models, you know, up close and know people like I do that are involved in other strategies, they probably don't really understand what drives success in those strategies, which is one of the reasons we're going to do the podcast I talked about. So for example, you know, in content sites, you know, it generally is not the writing of the content. That's usually outsourced. It's generally very sophisticated keyword research and keyword strategies, and then lots of private blog network and PBN strategies that help give authority to the website and link to the content and drive more visitors. And I think, you know, most people think that a content site is, you know, driven by someone who happens to write well. It's just not the case. So once you know people that do that for a living and you hear them talk about these arcane strategies, you might have a second thought. Now, the same thing, there is a love for SaaS sites, software as a service. Every guy who's been at IBM for any number of years and has a tech background thinks that he needs to own a SaaS site. Well, I can tell you, I've been in the wealth management industry for 36 years. over 36 years. And I can tell you that I think that I understand what would be an incredible killer software as a service for my industry. But I could be wrong, number one. And number two, I have no idea how to run the technology. And I think that most people that have worked at a big corporation like IBM or a big tech place, you know, they work on some little area of technology and probably not the same, you don't have the knowledge to do, you know, kind of the technology behind a SaaS site. I'll give you a good example of this. You know, there's a very, very well-known physical goods e-commerce guy named Ezra Firestone, and he owns both a SaaS site and a physical goods e-commerce site that have about the same revenue. And the SaaS site has 2 times as many employees because of the customer service, because of the specialty technologies that it takes to run the platform. So think about that. So to go back to your original question, you know, that's, you know, kind of the way I think about the array of opportunities. I think that, you know, physical goods e-commerce is a great place to start. If you ultimately want to branch off from there, you can, and you'll know when it's time to do that. You may see something that's an obvious fit or that you've learned a lot about, but it's a great way to start and, you know, to get into the online economy.
Yeah, and obviously joining you here today as your co-host, I'm bought into that concept as well. And, you know, I think one of the things that makes that an attractive place to start is that regardless of what your personal background is, you are familiar with e-commerce. If you are listening to the show and you've never bought anything online, please send me an email. I'd love to hear your story and how you get all of your goods. Because if you're still going into brick and mortar stores every single day and you've literally never purchased anything online, I would be shocked. And so all of us have this experience. We know what it's like to be an e-commerce customer. And that gives you a lot of perspective into actually running an e-commerce business because you can put yourself in the shoes of your customer. And that's not always the same for a content site or a SaaS site or a service site. So I think that's just another reason why physical goods e-commerce is extremely attractive. And what I think we might want to do next is click into, okay, so we talked about the categories of sites you can buy, but what Right. makes the proposition of buying an existing website versus building your own the preferred avenue to go down? What kind of aspects of existing websites make them more attractive?
Well, you know, kind of the first and most obvious one, I think you kind of have to look deep within yourself and say, you know, kind of, am I the creative genius or, you know, should I allow someone else to spend the time and try to do that and take a what is already a proven or semi-proven idea and grow it? I think being, you know, older affords me the opportunity or requires me actually to substitute money for time. And I don't want to, you know, spend a lot of time, you know, kind of testing ideas and failing. I'd rather look for what I think is an opportunity where I know I can add value or I think I can add value and do that as opposed to, you know, kind of be the creative genius. And so, you know, kind of new businesses, you know, 90% fail in the first 5 years, probably, you know, easily that true in the online world. You know, I'd rather try and find one that, you know, I think has got a much better than even chance of, lasting a lot longer than that. And with, you know, kind of changes that I can make or tweaks that I can make, profit from that, as opposed to, you know, kind of starting from scratch. That doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah. And I think really you hit the nail on the head there when you said you're buying your time back. When you buy a website rather than build one, you're buying all that time that the original owner spent putting that together. And at the same time, you're mitigating a lot of the risk that they took on by building something from scratch that maybe nobody wanted, or maybe they made a mistake in the website structure or the product offering or the value proposition, and it just doesn't resonate with the audience and then it fails. But if you buy an existing website that has revenue, that's generating revenue every single month, that has an audience, that concept and that offering has already been vetted to some degree. And your proclivity to fail, I guess, is much lower because you have an established theory and value prop that people seem to be resonating with. So all you have to do is focus on not screwing it up. Basically, you're getting things right and growing it from where it's at versus starting from scratch and hoping that somebody listens to your message and it resonates with them and they become customers.
Look, you can fairly quickly, you know, kind of do an analysis, use Google Trends, look at the products, look at the suppliers, look at the competition. You can pretty quickly figure out, look at the margins, you can pretty quickly figure out what the prospects are for something that's already up and running and in business. That is not the case when you're starting from scratch. You don't have any of those guideposts to help you. In my day job, in the wealth management world, I look at prospectuses for different types of strategy, investment strategies every day. So, you know, when I have the opportunity to look at a prospectus for, you know, a revenue producing physical goods website, you know, the numbers kind of jump out at, you know, I'm very facile with the numbers. And I would say, I would challenge anyone listening to this program, if you kind of go to the website brokers, subscribe, get the prospectuses, start to look at the, you know, kind of the different offerings, particularly in the physical goods space, you will start to see patterns. You'll start to see things that, you know, beg a question or two. You can then have a conversation with a broker or, you know, through email and ask questions and learn. And, you know, that's the way you get started.
Yep, definitely. And I think that's a perfect segue into our last point here today, which is if somebody's heard everything we talked about today, they've heard about buying established websites and why that's attractive compared to traditional asset classes. We've learned about the different categories of websites you can buy and what we think physical goods e-commerce is the right space to play in right now. What kind of person listening at home is the best fit for becoming a professional website investor? And assuming that they are a good fit and that they're interested in taking that first step, what would you recommend they do to get started learning and actually taking action toward becoming a professional website investor?
Well, I don't want to be biased, but I think it's, you know, someone that has worked at for some period of time in a career profession, has, you know, good organizational skills, is also someone that is, you know, a self-starter, you know, kind of anyone who's kind of work in business needs to have some, understanding and empathy for sales for sure. But, you know, kind of the older you are, the longer you've been a career professional or a corporate executive, you know, kind of the easier it is. Particularly now that the technology is so enabling and it's not a tech hurdle that you have to get over. It's really, you know, very easy from a technology standpoint to, you know, run physical goods e-commerce business. You know, you have your supply chain, you have kind of the marketing component, and then you have the customer service component. And, you know, the things that you can outsource and that you can organize if you're a career professional, which if you've been on any kind of a team and ever delegated would come natural to you, makes it, you know, I think a slam dunk. I think that's why it's going to be, an incredibly good opportunity for the people that I'm kind of referring to.
Yeah. And I think what we're really targeting from the sounds of it is that mid-stage to later stage career professional who has the capital to play with to make the original acquisition, who has the professional experience managing and leading teams and driving strategy. And then some of that operational experience and knowing what it takes to keep the wheels turning and keep everything operating smoothly. If you are in a position on your professional front right now that requires all those skills, then it sounds like you're going to be a great fit for becoming a professional website investor and kind of dipping your toe into entrepreneurship that way as a means to generate revenue indefinitely through the rest of your career and the rest of your life, frankly.
Well, you know, having said that, the gentleman I referred to before is 26 and working in the technology world, and he wants to be self-sufficient with online earnings by the time he's 30 so that he can enjoy spending time with his wife-to-be and his and her parents and do some traveling. So we just qualified the probably 40-plus crowd, and yet we've got people that are thinking about this that, you know, kind of get the joke already in their 20s. So
sure. So it's certainly not an exclusive club, but there is probably a best fit population. And then there are folks like him who can also get the job done, but might not be as high in number or as frequent in the general population as you might expect. So, you know, if you're listening at home and you like what you heard today and what you heard maybe in the first episode and you want to start taking action, obviously the first best step is to go to Ian's website, professionalwebsiteinvestors.com. And engage and read everything that's on there. He's got educational resources, case studies, and things like that that can actually paint a realistic picture of what it takes to be a successful website investor. And then one thing that we definitely want to mention today is that if you have specific questions, if there's something that we haven't answered yet, we'll probably answer it in a future episode. But to make sure that we do, you can send those questions to ianbond@professionalwebsiteinvestors.com. We'll take a look and we might feature your question in a future episode of this show. So I think that's going to do it for us today. Ian, is there anything that you want to leave the folks at home with before we sign off?
Yeah, let me just mention that, you know, one of the favorite places I go when I'm looking for inspiration and when I'm looking for kind of what's going on in this world, I read a book by Professor Scott Galloway from New York University called The Four. It's about Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google. And it was fascinating. When you read or listen to the chapter on Amazon, if you don't get excited about what's going on in e-commerce, because one out of every $2 spent online goes through Amazon, and they're establishing kind of customer expectations and you know, kind of all the protocols that the rest of us, you know, kind of have to live up to. But his YouTube channel has just some fascinating information that's on the big picture. So I would tell you Scott Galloway's YouTube channel and his book The Four are, you know, kind of fabulous, resources. You know, if you're looking for inspiration and if you want to start to become a student of, you know, particularly the physical goods e-commerce. He's very entertaining too, by the way.
I love that. That's on my reading list. And so I think we covered both boxes. We covered the motivation, inspiration. If you're not committed yet, then check out Scott Galloway's work. If you are committed and you want to take that first step and start learning and doing, you're going to visit professionalwebsiteinvestors.com or send us your questions to ianbond@professionalwebsiteinvestors.com. So I think that's going to do it for us today. Ian, thank you so much for your time, and we'll look forward to talking to you the next episode.
James, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks for the time today. I think I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, same here. And we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Okay.
Take care. All right, folks. So there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Ian Bond, who always comes to the table with valuable knowledge and insights and usually a great story to go with it. So let's quickly recap what we talked about today. First, we talked about traditional asset classes, things like IRAs, 401ks, portfolios of stocks and bonds, and some of the limitations that exist around them. Then we talked about why buying an established website, a revenue generating website, is the most attractive investment class available today. Then we talked about the different kinds of websites that are out there that you can buy and why Ian recommends getting your start in physical goods e-commerce and why it is the most attractive category of existing established website for people to acquire, maintain, grow, and eventually even sell if they'd like over the long term. To wrap things up, we talked about what kind of people are a good fit to become professional website investors. And if you are one of those people and you're ready to take the next step, where you should go to do that. So throughout this conversation, we shared a lot of tools and resources. And of course, we'll link all of those up in the show notes that are available at professionalwebsiteinvestors.com. And we also requested that if you have specific questions that we haven't addressed yet on the show, or you haven't found on the website in the form of an article, then please send them to ianbond@professionalwebsiteinvestors.com. So that's ianbond@professionalwebsiteinvestors.com. We'll take your questions there and we will incorporate those into a future episode. So I hope you enjoyed our conversation today and that you'll consider subscribing to the show, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory if you haven't already done that. So until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Professional Website Investors Podcast.